This is Microphone Check Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
I'm Danny Brown.
What up?
What up, though, man?
What up, though?
Chilling, man.
You guys know each other.
Yes, man. It's the big homie right here, man.
How?
Helped me out way early. Just giving me advice, just talking on the phone with me. That was something I needed for real at that time because I didn't know what really I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to make music. And somebody like Ali, just to even take his time out to even talk to me, that encouraged me to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you to Ali. You know what I'm saying?
You hear that out there? Go mentor somebody.
That's right. Go mentor somebody. That's real.
What advice did he give you?
Pretty much just telling me, like, trust my heart and just stick to my instincts, you know? And don't care about what's going on in the outside world or what I hear on the radio, what I see on TV, and just do what I felt was true to me. And that's what I took from it, and that's what I did, you know? That was, like, around the time I was making the Hybrid album.
It's, like, 08, was
it? Yeah, I felt like, yeah.
It was an 08 or 09, something like that.
That's
been a minute.
That's a long time.
In rap years. Dog years in rap years.
Yes, this is true. This is true. I rap like I bet my life, because in all actuality, nigga, I did. You rap like you used to hit the pipe. No, nigga, that ain't crack. That's crackhead shit.
Rap that shit. Real tell a bitch. And how old were you then?
I mean, I'm 32 now, so I was in my late 20s. I was a grown man then. I was living on my own, you know.
Yeah.
I still feel young, though, so I don't
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
I don't feel old. You know, I think that's a state of mind. I do the same thing I did when I was in high school, so I haven't changed too much, man, you know, besides paying my own bills.
Responsibility.
That's about it. I never learned how to drive a car, so maybe that has a lot to do with it.
You gotta fix that.
I mean,
you don't wanna be 85 still.
I know everybody
like,
say that.
Nah,
just,
they
you
take
know.
Your license away eventually. Come on.
My grandma, she's pretty old and she drives real slow. I've been in the car with her a lot of times and people be driving past cussing her out and you're like, man, it's my grandma, but I feel where they're coming from. You was just tripping right now, grandma. But that's like, so old people, they do not really need to drive though.
He's ahead of the game.
Exactly. Is your grandma in Detroit still?
Yeah, she lives in Detroit.
How often do you get back there?
Anytime I'm not on the road doing shows or doing this type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm home. I'm not like a hangout type of person.
Yeah.
I just stay in the house, just chill, play video games, play with my cat. You know what I'm saying?
You have a cat?
Yes, I have a Bengal cat.
Wow.
Named Siren.
Siren?
Yeah, I actually just bought her some kitty toys before I got here not too long ago.
Why'd you name her Siren?
Because when I got her, she was just like screaming, like,
oh.
And it sounded like a siren, you know?
I get it.
So she still do that little scream, too, when she want me to get up, you know?
I thought you said Cybotron.
Cybotron, that would have been tight.
I thought it was going to be a little Juan Atkins
kitty
reference
name.
There.
I know. That would have been a tight kitty name, Cybotron.
I mean, that's the thing that people talk about a lot with your music and that maybe is a little bit of a misunderstanding is how much Detroit techno is in there and how, like, normal that feels to you.
Yeah.
To sort of
I mean, I think I was hearing that way before I was hearing rap. Even as a kid, if we went to a house party, they wasn't playing no rap songs. They was playing that. And Model 500, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Egyptian Lover, you know? Even to go there, you know? I can deal with that situation. I don't care about my reputation. Give me a freaky, kinky nation with a total female population. I can deal with that situation. I don't care about my reputation. I'm not Egyptian Lover, sexy senior. It's not just that name. It's a rather picture. I mix so fast. I scratch so sweet. There's not another DJ who can compete. And even just being on a radio, like you get the little mix shows, you know, they didn't play rap, they played that. And even if they did play a rap, popular rap songs in the club, they still was speeding it up to like 140 BPMs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we just, that's our heart pace. That's our heartbeat, 140 BPMs, you know? So I don't know. I like my music fast. I know that much.
Does your mom listen to it? I mean, like, what did you grow up listening?
My mom listened to a lot of Loose Ends.
Okay.
That was her thing, you know? And my dad, you know, he was a house DJ, so he listened to whatever was cracking in the house or the ghetto tech scene, but he started listening to rap. I think his first rap album he just bought and just was listening to all the time was like Ice-T Power. Then like N.W.A., then Tribe. They just went on from there. Power, power. Somebody line up the suckers who refuse to recognize the truth. Tie up the punks who refuse to understand the youth. My posse's growing and it's getting larger every day. Detroit, Chi-Town, Pittsburgh, Houston, L.A. Come on, come on, come on, toys. Let's play. Circle the calendar. Perpetrator Doomsday. Ice T, fool, man of my own, full grown. I cause havoc when I speak upon the microphone. I'm out. So was that your influence?
Yeah, my pops.
That was your introduction.
He picked me. He took me to school and picked me up. So that's how I knew what was ever hot in that world, I guess. Even sometimes he might be listening to something for like the new tape that was out. And then when I get picked up from school, it'd be a new tape in there. I don't know who this is. Like, dang, who was this? There's some new. I get the kid to show me the cover. I get to look at the credits. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. And that's how it was. But then I started discovering music on my own from my friends because he wasn't playing me that type of stuff, like right. The Spice Ones and the South Central Cartel, just the E-40s and stuff like that. I started finding that from my friends. And it was like, dang, my whole mind was blown on that. 1990 motherfucking folk. South Central Cartel is back in the house. Prodigy, Havoc the Rhyme Son, and the mouthpiece. And we straight serving your ass. Motherfuckers getting clowned, like I said, in the 9-1. But 94 is in effect if you want some. Pump for your trunk, bring it on. If it's on, then it's popping. And only for the real price dropping. G shit, nigga, through the hoods in an SC. Either R, the O, the D, the E, the J, the S, me.
Yeah, see, we're the same age. I had the same stuff at the same.
Okay, see, that's tight.
When I needed to be driven around.
Like when we was dubbing tapes, putting tissue on the top of an old Roy Ayers tape or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. To get the little record button activated.
Make a Spice One tape out of that, you know?
So what was the first rap show you went to?
I think, I don't know if it was a Fresh Fest or not, but it was Beastie Boys, LL Cool J and Run DMC.
Wow.
And my pops took me to that.
What was that like? You remember it?
I don't remember it, but he said from the first time somebody grabbed the mic and started rapping, I just was mimicking everything I seen on stage. So I was like in kindergarten, so I can't remember that too much. I remember going, but I just don't remember. I can't even remember the actual show.
Do you remember the first show you wanted to go to?
The first show I wanted to go to.
You couldn't
probably
go
on
to?
My own. It was a Nas show that was coming. But it ended up like the last day got canceled or something. But I remember that was the first time I was like, I don't care if nobody go, I'm gonna get on a bus. I'm gonna go see Nas. You know what I'm saying? He was playing at St. Andrews, but the show didn't even happen. So
you talked a lot about Illmatic to other people.
Because Illmatic was the first, that was like the first album that I kind of bought on my own. And then the first time I heard it in its entirety, it was like I'd never been to New York before, but I felt like I was in the middle of Queens after it was over with. Like, looking outside type of point of view, I guess, you know, because I was in that same world in some sense. Like, me going to my bedroom listening to tapes, that was my mama's way for me not being in the streets, you know what I'm saying? Reminiscing about the last time the task force flipped. Niggas be running through the block shooting. Time to start the revolution. Catch a body head for Houston once they caught us off guard. The Mac-10 was in the grass and I ran like a cheetah with thoughts of an assassin.
So is that why you did like the two halves of the album? Going back to cassettes in the car?
I mean, just going back to listening to tapes in general? I guess, yeah, in some sense. Because I that's what I learned to make music from, listening to tapes, I guess, you know? But I didn't think of that going into making an album at first. It's just that it was like I had too many different types of songs.
Yeah.
So I ended up finding one beat that I felt like married it together.
What was that beat?
That was Dope Song by Rusty. You consider it to be a trap, but it has a 30-second intro and outro, and the song is only 2 minutes in general. So it is only like one verse in the hook, and then like a 8-bar verse in the hook. That's like straight punk rock to me, though. Bankroll with my pocket, so everybody know me. Went home and gave my mama 300 for some groceries. We hit the mall and bought, hit that club and spent it all. Now I'm back to square 8 with them squares that get off. Dope song, dope song, dope song,
dope song. What are you doing with the album? Why did you call it Old?
Old, I mean, the idea initially came from my homeboy Quelle. He was like, I was talking to Rock Marciano, and he was like, you should name your next album ODB. You know, like OG Danny Brown, like Old Danny Brown. More and more, I was just thinking that conversation would pop in my head. So I was thinking, like, what does that mean to me, you know? And then I just would start making an album, and then I figured it out, and it just like, oh, and it was like me going back to the original of what I used to do, telling my old stories, you know, over that old style of production. But still, at the same time, I want to do something new with my life and with my music. Mm-hmm. And that was just the flip side to that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody thinks it's about my age, but it has nothing to do with age, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or you hit a certain age and old is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I don't think old age is never a bad thing. I don't want to die young. Let me down. I don't know. I judge my life by video game consoles. I want to see. I want to see what the PlayStation 7 looked like. You know, I made it to see the 4. I got to get to the 7. You know.
Yeah. So you're in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me.
Who are you?
I'm a lifeguard. That was an ex football player. Now he's addicted to cocaine.
I don't really play video games.
So
I don't.
I'm just imagining. I was like, lifeguard? Oh, that's dope. Wait a minute. Ex-football player?
So you just
got
to go on the beach, and you know, you just find my character. I'm just on the beach, and you find me, and I always try to fight you. So
you always try to fight?
Yeah. If you interact with me, I'm going to try to fight you.
Okay.
I always get killed. People keep shooting me.
What the hell, man? You'll think twice next time, huh?
Is that something you want to do?
Like, that's what I wanted to do, yeah. I wanted to get into voiceovers. I mean, it came about, I met with him to do music. And I just was like, man, I don't really care about, like, because I really play video games. So I know, like, after 6 months of me playing this game, I'm really get tired of the song anyway. So I don't really want my song in a video game like that.
Okay.
Maybe the instrumental would be better than the actual song. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, just let me get a voiceover. Let me do a character. Let me do something like that. And they was like, no. But then as, you know, I started getting a little bigger and bigger, and they called me back. Then I went up there, and I had like 30 lines maybe the first time. And I knocked it out in like 15 minutes because it wasn't nothing too different for me. It's going in the booth reading words on paper. That's what I do anyway. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, dang, you tight. So then they called me back and I had like 140 lines. So I was
wow.
Like, dang, that's tight.
You about to get rained on. Asshole!
Because Oh No did most of the soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
right? And you work with him on this album,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that just connected on his own right there,
okay.
You know? But no, yeah, hit me up early and just was like, you know, he liked what I'm doing. And I'm, of course, a huge fan of him. And the thing is about producers, like, they might send you, like, 3 beats or 2 beats, you know. He sent me, like, 100 beats. So,
wow.
And I picked 3 beats. And it's probably the 3 beats that he probably would have never thought I'd pick.
I like Red to Go a lot.
Yeah, me too. Actually, he, like, replayed it. The original with me. I, like, you know how that's always how it goes. I liked it, the raw version, but it's still a great representation of what I wanted to do with the song, though. Fucked a couple pills, eyes covered like Beveling. Used to sex the cracks in the seam of the Peveling. Detroit nigga, but I'm smoking on Elkland. And is anybody nervous? I'm right to go. Said I'm right to go. I said, is anybody worried? I'm right to go. I said, I'm right to go. I said, is anybody...
Is that like because of samples?
Yeah, of course.
You know,
course.
I was really concerned about the hybrid.
Yeah.
You kind of had this, like, oh, well, whatever, I don't really care. I just want to put this out kind of attitude. And mm-hmm. I was like, man.
Somebody going to come holler.
Yeah. So whatever happened? Did any?
I mean, I had trouble. No, nothing ever happened with the hybrid, but I had trouble with XXX, you know.
How much trouble?
Just one song.
Just
got sued for one song.
Oh, that's not bad.
So this album, they was extra cautious and made sure we got everything cleared. Or we had to replay it, and we had to replay a lot of them, but they ended up coming out better than the actual sample ones, to be honest.
So when you go in, especially now, you know, compared to when you first started, are you more conscious of that, or what's your
process?
No,
I'm not going to be more conscious of it.
You're just still free.
I'm just going to have to, I'm going to do still what I do, and then we're going to have to figure out a way to make it work, because that's going to lose my creative edge if I start thinking with any rules, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to make what I want to make, and then I might can't use it. I might can figure out a way to make it as close to what I was trying to get it to, you know? So that's just going to be what I got to do.
Do you still grind hard trying to put the album together? Because I remember you
Yeah, this
really...
This one took 2 years.
Yeah?
It's not like I'm on a major label and they give me, like, big budgets and I'm sitting in studios all the time and nothing like that. So I'm pretty much taking a year to write the album and then I'm recording it the next year, you know? Just got the ham track, see my nigga trying to get. Standing on the baseline, Scottie Pippen pit. Needles in their arms just to keep the lights on.
shit. Fuck around, be on hardcore punk. Trying to get this shit off the window we snuck in. Won't live for anything, but might die for nothing. They want that old Danny Brown. Get back up and sell a whole pan. Might have to go and get my braids back. Matter of fact, go and bring them AKs back.
This album made me be like, I have to get my own studio now. I can't keep going through this, you know? So I finally got me a studio now. So I don't have to worry about that no more.
That's dope. So you building up label?
I mean, I came from a group, you know, and they still with me today rapping, you know? And I feel like they just as good as me.
You talking about Reservoir Dogs?
Mm-hmm. I feel like they just, and they peaking, they getting up there, you know, and age and stuff, you know? So they about ready. I just took it more serious than everybody else. But them seeing where I'm at now, you know, it's making them take it more serious, so.
That's dope.
Because I really want to do a group project with them, but everybody got to be focused. Because I'm focused, you know. I can't do another Danny Brown album for like another 2 years, you know. So I got to do something to kill the time.
That's a good way to get your crew together.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious. Holler at that nigga Danny Brown. Oh, Danny's back on his proceedings, serving his black eating, swerving his lack breathing, hurting these cats breathing for no reason. I throw G's in any party I'm easing.
How do you write?
It's more so a feeling type of thing, because I get so many beats, so I just listen. And maybe I might hear like a beginning line, or I might get a hook, or I might get something. And I just make sure I just jot it all down. Then one day the whole song might come together, you know? Just sit there all night and just piece stuff together and just write songs and write. Then after that, it's still like I practice it for maybe like a few months before I go and record it, because I hate feeling like I'm reading, because I want to be able to put more emotion into that. And if I just know the rap, I can close my eyes and say it. And then sometimes when I even get there and I close my eyes and say it, words change on their own, lines change on their own. Like, dang, I wrote it like this, but it ended up coming out like that. So I'm going to leave it like that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, it was raw emotion. So I'm also wanting to, like, capture an emotion than to actually say a perfect rap. I might say words wrong. I might say something that don't even make sense. But I'm keep it, you know?
So is the music inspired?
Yeah.
Or are you just kind of like, do you ever write before you get the song?
No, I got to write to the beat.
Wow.
And it got to be a feeling, too. Because it's mad beats that I get that I love, and I want to write a song to that beat. But nothing happens, you know?
Mm.
But then I might get a beat that somebody might not feel that good, but it struck somewhere in my emotion to me to feel some type of way, like, and then that emotion, words start coming from that emotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then when I want to record it, I want to capture that emotion. So I guess that's like putting energies in the world or something, and a person to feel that energy and get that more so than even what the beat is doing or what the song is doing. That's weird, I guess. I don't know.
Nah, I feel it. Most of the stuff I write is after I hear the music. It's kind of rare that I'll just write a line. And I'm like,
I used to do that all the time, but I feel like that's like a battle rapper kind of like mind state. I want to be more of like a songwriter, so I have to write to the beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I just write a rap, then try to put it to a beat, then it's okay.
You had a lot of battle rapping in the early days?
Yeah, of course, in like high school,
dudes. You ever get roasted so bad?
Yes, I did a few times. I mean, Detroit, man, everybody rap. So a lot of times I got too big for my britches and I got humbled. And it was tight. I'm glad that happened.
Does it happen now that people come up to you, like, I don't know, wherever you are, Detroit, New York, Europe, somewhere?
And just try to rap on me?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could really take that, because I don't feel like I'm that kind of guy no more, you know? Like, you automatically won if you do it, you know? Because I can't even come back. I know how to write, but I can't just sit there and bust a freestyle no more, man. It's just like, I don't know. It's like, I know it's going to be whack, so I'm already coming into it with low self-esteem, you know?
Forfeit.
Yeah, I forfeit, man. I'm like, you got it, because you hungry, you know?
Backward of that good to the pain for the brain, a couple lean for me to sleep, see I be going through things. Music business got me stressing, next to maintain. Waking up on wrong sides got me writing in vain. Vicodin to numb me up, help me cope with the struggle. Remember praying to get in there, saying rap to my brothers and I got the whole world listening. Get your ear for a second, a life-changing decision. Every other minute, thoughts run through my mind about how bad I wanted this, but I cannot waste time. So I'm trapped in the beat, stuck on every line.
Yeah, but what you said about, like, taking a long time to get it right and just relying on your emotion, like, you must trust yourself.
Yeah, but sometimes it's risks, too. I be sitting around with a song for a month and be listening to it and be like, I love it, but is anybody else gonna like it? You know, like, I don't know if people gonna get it. And then you put it out and people like it. And then it's gonna be some people that don't like it, but that's just the way the world go.
I mean, we love your music. You if you don't know, you're the picture of microphone
check. I know that is so tight.
It's been like that, that is day so one. So you
that
represent
is so cool. I know.
You represent the fourth generation. You know what I'm saying? It through to now for microphone check.
That's
so
what's up.
A lot of love for you.
Yeah.
And just the content, just I can't, well, yeah, there's people out there that's not gonna understand or connect with it, but I don't know if you remember the first thing I said to you about your music. I said, yo, you like
Richard Pryor.
That's right.
You did what?
He remembers. I was like, yo, you like the hip hop Richard Pryor.
That's real.
Wow.
You know?
And I got it too. Making things funny that don't supposed to be funny. Mm. You know? And then it's almost like you can be socially conscious in the way and entertain people too. It's like putting the peel in the pudding. You know what I'm saying?
The thoughts all cloudy in the marijuana sky, but it started raining Molly. It got me feeling sorry while I'm feeling on myself, cause I don't know this bitch name, but I'm feeling on the breast. I know it ain't right, but in this state I don't care. A whole week done went past, I ain't gone nowhere. Hotel rooms crushing pills and menus, daughter sending me messages and daddy I miss you. But in
this like this album is totally way more like mature than the last one, you know? Like I didn't want people to get put me in a box of just like trying to be a shock rapper or saying something. That's what they all did. They just got caught that part of it. Right. They didn't get the peel. But it was the peel was still in there, though. They starting to realize the peel is taking effect of them.
starting to realize
there's some medicine in that. You know what I'm saying? So
that's crazy, though, because Scrap or Die was so like, this is happening.
Yeah. I just tell a story of how it really is. And that's it. I don't have a solution to the situation, but I can just make you aware of what's going on.
Tonight's that night, we about to get right, piled up in the van with a couple flashlights. Metal crowbar gonna get us through the door. Take everything, nigga, fuck the landlord. So now we at the place, Scully's own bare face, about to lead this bitch bare, strip the whole damn place. My unk took outside, he ripping down the gutters. So we inside tearing up this motherfucker. Bust open the walls just to get the wiring. Took the hot water tank and leftover appliances. Aluminum siding and had to come back cause the furnace so big it wouldn't fit in the back. Now it's copper by the pound, wire by the inch, got a check on the first and it's gone by the fifth. Scrap a die, nigga.
I mean, I understand how people are gonna find your music and everything, but you've said, you know, you don't expect to hear your stuff on the radio.
The internet. End of the question. I mean, to me, like I say, man, I'm living and I'm seeing inventions. The internet got to be like one of the coolest things ever. Imagine a person like 50 years old seeing the internet. They're like, what? I used to listen to the TV on the radio. You know what I'm saying? I used to watch John Wayne or something. You know what I'm saying? In my head, and just heard him shooting cops and robbers on the radio. And now you on the internet and you could just see whatever you want in the world. So I'd rather be a star on the internet than a star on TV at this point. Mm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Video killed the radio star. Internet killed the radio.
Yeah. What about playing out? Like playing festivals, playing shows?
Oh, what about it?
You know, putting the pill in the pudding, how do you do that live?
You don't. That's the thing. I make certain music just to perform. Because I remember the time when I didn't have nothing but those songs and I'm playing in front of a whole crowd that want to have fun and dance and I'm sitting there kicking backpack raps and stuff. Some people just really want to release and dance, you know? And I do too.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't too hard for me to be able to make those songs, though. So that's what that is.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, what's up? My name is Danny Brown. Thank you, everybody, for up in this motherfucker right now.
You know about that. You told a story not that long ago about Tribe watching Too Short perform.
Oh, yeah. It was mind-blowing. It wasn't a studio song. It was the people came to see Short. They came to party. He knew they came to party. Later for all that being cool, whatever. It was just
that's how I do. Yeah. That's how I came to, man, for real.
Yeah.
So you can buy my albums and then you can hear that. You know what I'm saying? But when you see me live, we turning up and having fun.
What do you enjoy most about the whole music process from, like, you know, looking for the music, creating it, recording?
Yeah, I think
performing.
More so my favorite part is just sitting there, just wrote something. I'm sitting there in my drawers at my computer and just rapping it back to myself. And I'm like, this is going to be so hard. It's going to be so tight.
then the song come out, and then people be like, oh, this so hard. And it make me feel even cooler, because I knew that a year ago, sitting in front of my computer, about like, ooh, watch, they gonna go crazy. And the next thing you know, you got a big-ass crowd singing it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's tight to me.
What does your daughter think of your success?
I try to keep it as normal and away from her as possible.
How do you do that?
In Detroit, you know, it's not. She sees stuff on the internet and stuff like that. She's old enough to where she's on the computer and stuff like that.
How old is she now?
She's 12 now. Wow. So for the most part, we go hang out and we kick it. We do normal stuff when we hang out. Go to the movies or just go out to eat. And people don't really mess with me like that, so I don't really feel like I'm like no big celebrity or nothing like that, you know?
So is she introducing you to music? Because you know your children do.
She likes the One Direction and stuff.
One Direction is massive.
You know? Yeah, she likes that type of stuff, man. So it's cool. I want to keep her like that, watching Disney Channel and stuff, you know? So she's still into that, you know? Let's go crazy.
Are you already working on your next album?
No. I can't really just work like that in the studio. I think I have to live life to have stuff to write about. So I want to live a little life, and then I have something to talk about again, you know?
Yeah.
What are your life experiences, I guess, through the hip-hop industry? Just the life of making music and being successful, but it has its sort of dark sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you grew up hustling and stuff like that. How do you get through it?
I don't know. I don't think I figured that part out yet. You know, the more you grow, the more you know. I just know now I have so much respect for everybody that came before me and that have stuck along and been around for years, because now it's like, dang, this is what they've been doing for the past 10 years, you know? Like, how can you not respect somebody like that? Like, you know, it's easy to sit on the outside and be like, man, he whack, or his music ain't cracking like that no more, or whatever. Just say hate on another artist or whatever, but if a person has been doing this for a consistently long time, it's obviously something with their business that's working right, and it's obviously, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I just respect everybody that, you know what I'm saying, that's just been around and been doing this so much, because this ain't for the weak at all.
What would you like for your music to do for you? Like, you took a path growing up,
mm-hmm.
you selling, and that was to get you to, you know, from one place to the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what place is music going to get you? What would you like to see it do for you?
Like, I think now with me and my music, it's just something that I want to leave behind when I die, you know? Like, if people could still go back and they can get my album 30, 40 years later, after I'm gone, they'd be like, it's tight, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that, like, leaving behind. And then they still understand what we was going through in this time the same way. A kid right now, like, they buy vinyl, could go buy Marvin Gaye. What's going on? They hear what was going on in that time, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to be like that. Pick it loud and pick it sound. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Is there something that two grandmothers raised you, sort of? My Filipino grandma, I was with her a lot.
Is there anything that she taught you? Is this right? She had property, so she was real estate.
That's my other grandma, okay. my black grandma. She worked at Chrysler like 20-some years, so she just bought like a lot of houses and stuff, you know?
Is there anything that she taught you that sticks with you?
I don't know. I can't really say too much. My grandma's crazy, to be honest.
Crazy.
Both of them, like, my grandma, like, she used to beat me with golf clubs and stuff like
what?
That. Like, I mean, not like on no crazy stuff, but like she with the action, man. Like, my grandma was the type to be like, if you got into something in the street and you came home crying to her, man, you wish you stayed out in the street crying. That's
so she's
stuff.
A true Grand Theft
yeah,
Auto
like,
character.
She was,
right?
Yes,
yeah,
my grandma never played no games. For real. So I know how my mom's probably grew up, you know? But I love her for that. So I guess if anything, man, she gave me heart.
Hmm.
I could say that for sure. My grandma ain't raised no punks.
Is she still here?
Yeah. She's still here doing the same thing she's been doing as long as I can remember. So I always see her all the time.
Does she listen to your albums?
Nah. My family don't listen to my music like that.
Why not? You don't want them to?
There's not nothing that I push on them. I mean, they watch, like, videos off YouTube or, like, see me do interviews and stuff, but it's not like they listen to the what's on the radio like everybody else, you know, which is cool to me.
Because
I like being Daniel. I don't like to think about this Danny Brown stuff all the time, you know. So when I'm around my family, I'm Daniel, you know. They're not tripping on that. They happy to see that I'm doing good for myself with it. That's it.
Right.
Who's out now that you are feeling?
Right now, I like Kevin Gates. I've been listening to his album a lot. So I say Kevin
Southern
Gates
right stuff.
Now. Yeah, like his, like, you know, he's talking the normal street stuff everybody talk, but you can see it's a lot of emotion to it. He's not glorifying anything. It sounds like it's all bad, to be honest. Like, if I was a kid hearing him, I wouldn't be like, yeah, I don't want to be in the streets, you know? So I like his point of view is where he's coming from.
He's like a melodic dude.
Yeah, so it's a lot of layers there. I would just say that. It's a lot of layers with his music.
Where was you when I was slumped over? Gums hurting from an old bullet in front of the toilet while I hunched over. Puking all of my insides. Stab wound from an old friend. Well, at that time, we were close friends. They say I killed them in cold blood. We wrestled with a gun, but the gun went off. He upped the pistol, looked him dead in his eyes. I've been ready to die, so nigga, do it. Gates, man, I really do it. I'm serious, too, nigga, to really do it. Turned his head, closed his eyes. Aimed the tool, started shooting. I didn't die, my life will move. 30 a.m. Never say when.
Do you do that when you write? Like, do you hear a melody in your head? Okay, you hear the beat first, and then you wait for the words to sort of, like...
I mean, I get a flow first. You gotta have a flow, but for the most part, I like try to come up with hooks first.
Okay.
You know? Then I build the song from the hook. But a lot of times, like, I could have a hook, but it might take me forever to just come up with the first line of the verse. Because to me, beginnings is everything. Like, you gotta come in perfect, so... I done had songs with hooks for months, and then I finally just get one line and wrote the rap that night. You know what I'm saying? Finish the song. So I don't know. It's all about that first line with me.
Erykah Badu calls it downloading time. Let it come out.
That's right.
Do you remember, did you have a moment where, like, you wrote something, you recorded something, and you're like, that's it. I can do this. This is my job.
It was more so like I was recording stuff like early in my days, and all my friends be like, man, that's so whack. You know what I'm saying? Because it was, in hindsight, when I think of it, it was whack. But so all my friends be like, you so whack. You can't rap, man. You don't need to rap, you know? Like, you could rap, like,
some friends.
A cappella, like, being like, you know, but when you go in the studio, your songs is whack. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you right. So I don't know. It took a long time.
Like, you maybe not sure you feel it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident in what I do now.
Okay.
I can say that. Before, I wasn't. I was going into making music with low self-esteem. And that would make you try to make stuff that people like.
Yeah.
Just for them to be like, it's tight.
Right. Mention people's names.
Yeah,
and
I'm
all right.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I have confidence.
I was thinking about something, but I ain't worried about nothing. Remember when I was struggling, fucked up on my knuckles, trying to sell some dirt weed, taxing off a 10 speed. Money was ain't coming, for sure, nigga, I can't fuck. I had them dubs on the stair. I had them dubs on the stair.
So you started writing like 2 years ago,
this
right?
Album?
Yeah. And so now you might be sort of thinking about different things.
Right now, I just feel so much of a weight lifted off my shoulder that this album is finally coming out, and it's already got great reviews. Everybody already saying, you know, it's one of the best rap albums of this year. So I was just so worried about that, you know. I don't know. Like, a lot of people might care about how many albums they sell. I care about me not getting a good review, man. It's nothing worse than putting out an album that everybody said sucked, you know.
So you read the reviews?
I read all of them.
Oh, man.
I read all of them, and I take the good with the bad, you know? I know how to take constructive criticism.
Have you ever contacted anyone that you didn't agree with their review?
No, I wouldn't do that. I just feel that's distasteful in some sense. You know? Like, I got a bad review, and I still my homie.
Wow. I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, that's real. You're real humble.
I mean, like I said, got to go across the boards. He one of many. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else said it's good. He just, and that's my homie. But yeah, that would have been good for somebody else. He gave me a 7 out of a 10, you know. Me, I feel like it's an 8 or 9. The only reason I'm saying it's not a 10 because I feel like I know I'm going to do a better album than this one.
Really?
Yeah, so that's the only reason why I can't get a 10 because I know I'm going to make a better album.
Now that you said that, I'm glad you said that because you know what I was thinking? Your next album, if you haven't already thought this, definitely go in and from top to bottom, make it the best thing you ever could make.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, your albums, everything is dope, and it's just a steady incline, and, like, your stories always come off fresh, you know? Your lines, like, you're a fierce MC, and you're a great storyteller. But I think in terms of, like, I felt like I was wondering what old meant. I kind of sensed that it meant, like, you know, you're going back to your old self. But I was wondering if it was, like, from start to finish, was there a completed concept? I think you should definitely, your next record, like, top to bottom, like, I know the beginning of the story.
Yeah,
the middle, the
I
like,
totally want to do something, and that's crazy that you say that, because that's how that's totally what I want to do. Like, one of my favorite albums is "A Streets of Grand Don't Come for Free," and I feel like that's something so hard to pull off. It's so much of a risk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're in that position now,
and that's like, what I'm about. So I could totally see if I could pull that off, how big that would be for my legacy.
I already know you
in
can.
My career. You know what I'm saying? So. So I love to have Mike Skinner talk, because I don't know, he like, he really wrote an audio movie.
My rage is blowing gauges. How long does it take to validate your wages? Alas, my turn comes. Press the 50 squid button. Insufficient funds. Today I have achieved absolutely now. In just being out of the house, I've lost out. If I wanted to end up with more now, I should have just stayed in bed like I know how. So I failed on the DVD.
I don't know too many people that just did that. I mean, you could say The Good Kid, Mad City is an audio movie, but it was more so through skits, and the songs just tied the skits in. But he literally just made song after song a continued storyline from beginning to end. That's like one of my favorite albums ever, too.
It's definitely in you, and I think that's like the next album.
That's for sure I want to do. That's just even me, just, you know, I've been making these albums by myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I want to start to bring in people, not necessarily like writers and those, but just people like you. You know what I'm saying? People that just know to get to now guide me through stuff now, you know? Like, getting other opinions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say, like, the top two rap albums right now is, like, review wise, is Yeezus and mine, you know? But Yeezus probably took like $4 million to make. I've been like 2,500.
4 million people.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if I just had 100,000 to make an album, what could I do? You know?
You hear that, corporate America on the music side of things? Can we help Danny Brown out a little bit? Just a little. Just give him a little. It's guaranteed.
Just guaranteed. I'm going to make Purple Rain. For sure.
So that's what, like, getting positive reviews means for you. Mm-hmm. Is you get to make the next album, you get to make it for more money, you get to make it the way you want, you get to push it,
you get
to,
more freedom. You
they're
get,
gonna get let you take risks.
Yes, if I'm in school, I want to get a good report card, right? Yeah. If I played in a league, I want my stats to be right. So that's how I look at it. This is my game, so I want to stay high in scores on Metacritic, you know, all across the board, you know. So like I say, I don't have a problem with getting a bad review. I don't have a problem with getting a good review. I just want to make sure I have lasting power with these albums, too. Because, you know, it's a lot of albums that come out and they get high reviews, but we can go back 5 years later and be like, man, that album wasn't that good, you know?
Right,
it just hit for that time, you know?
Yeah.
That's more I care about. If it's not even big for that year, but we go back 10 years later and be like, man, that album, it got better with time almost, you know?
Right.
I want to do things like that.
It's crazy from, like, a journalist perspective, because reviews, you know, they matter emotionally, but they also,
I feel like a journalist
business.
Should look at the same way I look at my album, that's the same way they should look at their review. That's the best reviews. As much work I put into that album, as much work they should be putting into reviewing the project. Then write a good review, even if it's giving it a positive review or a negative one. But don't just come here half-assing it, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
And just trying to just beat the case and just write something real quick, even if you're saying it's a good album or a bad one. I hate that, because I can get a good review, but the write-up suck, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we want to go out on a song. You want to talk about Dip?
Yeah, it's reading my mind.
I used to love that song so much when I was a little girl.
Freak Nasty. That's right. He gave me some problems too, man. He didn't want it. He said he didn't want that song wasn't a good representation or whatever the Dip to him meant. But it was cool. He cleared it, you know. We actually had to get Jay-Z and Kanye to clear it, so I don't know how many major artists, you know, would clear an indie rapper like me, so shout out to them for even doing that, you know. They could have hated on me, so you know what I'm saying? But they show love, so I love them niggas.
Yeah.
thank you so much. I mean, you're like the best interviewer ever. Usually it takes much longer for us to like pull it out and work it around and like whatever. I'm like, we're
I need a homie, man. So I'm already been comfortable with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you might come into a room and be like, I don't know if I want to open up to these people. They might try to take advantage, but you know, it's all love in here.
You know, before you go, is there any words that you live by that you want to share with people?
I guess, never trust a girl that have sex with you with her socks on. So we can go with that one.
Why? Like, why don't you trust her? What do you think she's going
to
do?
That's like a prostitute thing. Like, she might have to make a great escape or something, you know? If she don't want to pull the toes out, man, then something is wrong. Just watch out for her. You know, she might steal something from you, you know?
That's funny, because I have a rule about guys taking their socks off. I'm like, show me some respect.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
On that note, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back.